Whoa, there I am. Turn me down, would you? A show that you know, this year. Sometimes moms time away, don't they? And there's kind of this sense that, you know, hey, mothering is this wonderful thing, and you know, it's just a joyful life-changing experience for moms, and you discover new dimensions of love when we have children, and then that child gets a little older and things become less pleasant, and then they become a little older than that and it becomes even less pleasant at times, you know? And it's certainly rewarding and gratifying, as I've observed, I guess. I'm not a mother, but I'm a parent, and you know, that raising children is this thing that is a wonderful gift and a huge job, and is difficult as well. And as we go into this, examples of mothering and mothers, but let's be honest, it's a mixed bag. And there certainly isn't some, you know, First Mothers chapter 4, you know, verse 2 on exactly what to do when your child is disrespectful or when they get to a certain age. You know, we don't have all of that. But I would contend this morning and just general approach. Is that sets women free. Strange one, but stick with me. Four. With this idea that the gospel is the truth that sets women free. Way in John's passage, verse 31 through 32, he says to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And, you know, Jesus said these people and were following him, and they were listening to him and believing the things that he said. But he's saying, you know, there's something you don't know yet about that you haven't gotten yet. If you stick around, you're going to get some. That truth is not just a true statement, it is the truth, capital T. And that the truth, there will be all the other things you need to know. And that this the truth will result in freedom. And I'm so sorry to say that in the perception in the world of Christianity, that it can be a limiter, that it's something that confines our freedoms, and that nothing could really be further from the truth. What is this, the truth that's free? Well, John, his letters, go on to write what it is. That for me, when I was and in this really narrow group that I came up in, and then we began to encounter as a living presence and leave that group, I'd receive messages from people, and they would say, we're so sorry to hear that you're leaving the truth. And, you know, and there would be all these kind of emails and other correspondences that would, that system. That may tell me what the truth I've left is in 1,000 words or less, that would help. And we would, in that group, we would speak of, we need to practice the truth, but nobody would say, yes, I do know the truth. Because we were always supposed to be learning it, right? But it says very bold, all of even arrogant. to say all of you know the truth. He says, I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it. So I want to say that to each of you. If you are like people that John was writing to, you know a truth. But because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever. Jesus is the Christ. Denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father, and whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Remains in just crazy, subversive, world-changing fact of the Jesus Christ is it is it, you know, Christianity 1, Jesus died for your sins, he rose on the third day, he ascended to the world. How long did that take me to say? And then, after we hear that, we move on to another module. We're climbing the ladder. We're going to new heights in terms of some sort of knowledge. It's that same message. It brings us in. And it'll take us all the way home. And he says, keep that message. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us. Eternal life. So, says it this way in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, and you also were included when you heard the message of truth, gospel of your salvation. You believed, you were marked in him with the promised Holy Spirit. And so here's the truth. Here's how this truth of the gospel applies specifically to women. This is your identity. And I think maybe mothers more than fathers, I would actually be willing to just more than fathers see their role as a parent or a grandparent as defining them more than fathers do. Fathers as defining them. Walk up, we meet somebody at a party, and we say, if it's a man, we say, so what do you do, Joe? I want to know who you are. Mothers meet one another and say, do you have any? Are they? Right? What was the labor like? Was it bad? You know? I mean, this ends up being the thing that defines. Understand that your status as a mother, how many children you have, or whether you have children at all, it's the thing that defines you. We've got to know that if we are followers of Christ. That the gospel, part of how it sets us free is by redrawing the lines of categories of people and who they are and what they are. And so Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 29, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. He's just wiped away these ethnic differences. Neither slave nor free. Nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. I want to start. And that on an ultimate level, I'm not saying these things don't exist. Paul obviously wrote about these are realities. I'm talking about the ultimate truth of who you are. It's not ultimately that you are male or female or Jew or Gentile or slave or free or whatever. You belong to Christ and seed. And heirs. That is our ultimate destiny. And I've never spoken about this ministry, but it had a powerful impact on me Ancient Paths is the name of a ministry, kind of, it's a spiritual healing ministry. Is who am I? And I think they're right, that our identity and our destiny are the two. And, you know, we need to keep that at the forefront. If you look a little farther down in Galatians. He says, because you are his sons, Jews, Gentiles, slave, men and women, sons. Doesn't mean you're male, bodily. Your status before God is that of a son. Now, in the ancient Near East and in the Greco-Roman world, being a son meant that you had special privileges, right? And especially a son of the king. Because you are sons, God sent the Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out our Father. I want us to understand that. Stances in life, background. Freedom. And so there is nothing that ought to enslave us, right? And as a woman and as a mother, if you are one, that we have to understand that the overarching truth of our life, the overarching mode that we ought to live in, is one of freedom. Since you are, God has made you also an heir. And so we are free. Is the truth from motherhood. Luke chapter 14, 26 through 27. Life. Such a person cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. As much as we love our children, as much as our children need us, we have to be careful to understand that the ultimate call on our lives is to follow Jesus as his disciple. And I'm afraid that sometimes that there is such a drive, such a longing, such anger within us, being of our own children, that we will begin to help us with our children rather than taking our children to Jesus. Those are different. I know who on Facebook, this has been 8 years ago, just about the time I was, who put up on Facebook, ever since I left my, you know, one of the things, church and going to church and I need community. I didn't know she renounced her faith. I didn't know that you had, you know, left your faith behind. And would you be willing? You know, I couldn't figure out how to raise my boys. And I was overwhelmed. And I cried out, please, God, help me know how to raise my. And that's, he doesn't love me, or he doesn't exist, and I'm done. Do you see how her faith is with her children? We have got to get this sense of Christ as ultimate, or everything else in our life is going to be out of whack. Might call us to do things and to, you know, that are going to alienate us from our children, frankly, or from our parents, that we're going to have to, and you know, and so Jesus calls to do this, but he is not just saying that. He lived it. In Mark chapter 3, and brothers are outside looking for you. Mother, my brothers, he asked. Then he looked at those seated in the circle around him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. You see how Jesus light of will and the call of the to get our oftentimes church people want a family to go well. No, for most churches were made up predominantly of women, and women were the most active in the churches. That we have sold healthy family as a promise. I don't remember Jesus promising that. I do remember him that we could be alienated from people that we love. Worth it. Family isn't our ultimate identity. Someday it's all going to change. You're not going to be married to your spouse. Your relationship, it's going to be different. And so nothing that's going to fly away can be ultimate, right, in our lives. Paul says it like this in 1 Corinthians 7, 32-35. I would like you to be free from concern, an unmarried man, how he can please the Lord. The man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. This isn't a just saying, this is the truth of. He says, And he says, and interests are divided. An unmarried woman or about the Lord's affairs, her body and spirit. Interest is that people are going to his children. And yet Paul didn't see it that way. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. I was counseling with a guy, and he was just undone, unhinged about the relationship with his God. Such hostility. And he was asking me, you know, he was just laying out this litany of all the wrongs that she had, foisted on him and the things that she had done and the ways in which she was unwilling to help fix the marriage and participate in recovery. And I looked at him and I said, it's your marriage or job. It's not your call. Staying married. Your job. What your job is, serve the Lord. The rest is his job, okay? And I'm afraid that if we miss that, then we become controlled. Because every relationship has two sides. And if my goal is for my children to love me, my children to respect me, my children to obey me, my children to become X, Y, and Z when they grow up, I'm going to exert some control. I'm going to try to. Do you think be controlled? If your job is to be faithful to God, and so about the affairs of this world, how she can. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. Now, having said that, motherhood is not the thing that defines anybody, and somebody who never has children or is never married is just as fulfilled, just as called as anybody who is married and has children. We have to understand that. That's what the gospel teaches, okay? Now, having said that, I want us to understand that motherhood is a wonderful and powerful call. I want all the way back at the beginning of this enterprise. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, of all the living. The way the Hebrew reads in this, it is like she. That not only did physical life emerge and continue on this planet through mothers' life, man, I can't even begin to wrap my head around motherhood. I one time asked Shannon Dunk, she mentioned, you know, how great it was nursing her children, and I said, do you think men and women are a different species, maybe? I mean, what in the world? I can't get my head around being a you feeding them from your body. That just, right? What a powerful, what an amazing picture. What a gift, right? And beyond that, God used a woman to bring spiritual life back into this planet. But when the sun. Under the law, that we might even receive a sonship, that women new born person of the gospel and the image of God. First Corinthians chapter 2. Here's something I want to understand about motherhood under the gospel is that even if you don't have children physically, you can still minister as a mother. Paul did. He says this, just as the nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. See, the gospel tells us that there is a transfer that happens as we proclaim this message. People. When we look at mother care for their children, naturally, picture of what discipleship. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of well, and isn't that what mothers do? You know, I know that a lot of us have homeschooled and other things, and we can become instructors of our children, but that's not the end of it, right? We're not like 8 o'clock, the kid comes and sits at the desk, and we, 4 at 5 o'clock, you know, we're investing ourselves. Women, mothers are investing themselves. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, night and day. You know that old saying, a man may work from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never. I tried to mother you. Burden to anyone, but we preach the gospel of God to you. I remember when we were at my grandparents' house, it was a two-bedroom house, it had one, and my mom gave me the other, and she slept on the couch for years. I want us to understand that that's a mother. And Paul says, that's the kind of love I had for you. Every one of us, I hope, has an example of selflessness, of investment, of care and concern and undying loyalty. One of us ought to have a picture of that. Now let us aspire to be that for other people, whether they are born of our bodies or not. Motherhood, but in our free from motherhood, Tim Keller relates. He says, "My wife and I once eventually married, and contrary to the expectation, able to bear to help but her dreams did not come true. Her overpowering drive to give her a perfect life made her to actually enjoy them. Her overprotectiveness, fears, and anxieties, and her need to control lives made the family miserable. Anna's oldest child did poorly in school and showed signs of serious emotional problems. The younger child was filled with anger. There's a good chance her drive to give her and wonderful lives will actually be the thing that... You see, there's a degree to which we need the gospel to save you from motherhood and... way that is healthy and fruitful and helpful. We've got to be function. And so I want from are free from so that they can, first of all, are free from the opinions of other people. Paul says this, now it's required that those who have been given a trust, do you think mothering a child is a trust? You want to know what that trust means? It means you should be faithful. Period. You have not failed if your child does not graduate high school, let alone college, right? You've not failed if they don't go on to produce a massive income, or if they don't go on to get married, if they don't be grandchildren. You've only failed if you've not responded to God and His will in raising them, right? He says, I care very little if I am judged by you. And if our children are a little older, maybe we should just kind of grab them gently by the face and pull them close and say, I care very little if I'm judged by you. They need to hear that. I do not even. Make me innocent. Judges. Until the Lord comes, He will bring darkness and will expose of the heart. That's what matters. Receive their praise. Ends of others. We need to. Why? Because speaking. And we have to speak the truth to our children. Paul says this, adding to his spiritual children, have I then become your enemy by telling of you? See, thing, our intent. See, people are going to flatter them out there. People are going to give them attention. People are going to try to make them feel special. That's going to entice them away from your influence. It says this, so that you may make a call. You see, man, a relationship that matters, relationships of real love, there is a willingness to speak truth. And even incite hostility for the good of the other person. Hebrew writer says, you see, because not only do we have to speak truth to our children, at times we have to discipline them. He says, during the offering with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. Have your children ever offered up prayers and petition with fervent cries to you? Is high, thankfully. Deaf ears because of my greater love. And he was because of his reverent submission. Though he was, get this, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Sometimes our kids have to do without. Sometimes they have to. Obey him. The Hebrew writer goes on in Hebrews 12, no discipline seems. On, however, harvest of righteousness for those who've been trained by it. And so being free means free from the opinions of others. And because of that, we can truly mother. Women can mother, and we all can to some degree. We're also free from law. Paul says it this way, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. I want us to stop for. Could I not? There are no sins that are worse than others, no infractions that are worse than others. You know, sometimes I think out that our kids are in their room and we're moderately missed. Kid was hiding beer, we're destroyed. Or does that sound like we're still operating on rules that assign different values to different behaviors? Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. We've got to take this approach as we raise and influence children. All things are lawful, not be dominated by anything. We've got to ourselves and ask, and as we lead our kids, chapter 5, verse 8. Says this, if anyone is grieve me as he of you it too severely, but the punishment inflicted on him so that he will not be overwhelmed with excessive sorrow. I urge you therefore love for him. I think they could not ourselves that we will do that is to see them grow and develop and become what they're supposed to be, to nurture them. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6, the thing we need to be free from is the love of money. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say, God is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Ladies, children to think, what is it them by worry about it when our actions are contingent. Seek filling. What is it we communicate? We're not going to send our children on a path that's going to lead to ruin and their sorrow. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Some people eager for. Folks, chasing material success goes that way. Jesus goes that way. There's no sugarcoating it. Doesn't mean that you can't be wealthy. You can't end up having money as a Christian. I know that God, if we are pursuing his will, some people are led into circumstances where they make a very good living. But if we set our on making a lot of money, then our heart will be pointed away from us. period, pierced themselves with many griefs. Another thing we're from, and this is the last one, flesh and blood, he and their humanity. So, who holds the power of death, that is, and we hover over them. What we're telling them is dying is the worst thing that can happen to you, and no one's watching out for you, by the way, except, and guess what? You're not going to be there. We are seeing a rash of children who anxiety that they cannot manage. Why? Because they have imbibed the message that if mommy's not watching out for you, you are in danger. They may not even articulate it in their minds, but they are consumed by fear, because that is not the gospel. What happens Christ, then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you are striving together as one for the gospel. By God, we've got to announce through our fearlessness that the gospel is true. And when we squeal and run at the least threat, and so here's the big idea that sets women free, folks. I want to just encourage all of us, myself included, to daily go back to the gospel, go back to the cross, to evaluate my decisions and my attitudes in light of those truths, whether it's our mothering, whether it's our vocation. I think with the gospel for decades, now is all ourselves, and all of it can be recovered because God can redeem even from the dead. Let me pray for us, and then there'll be some music, and we'll have communion. As we've said, we're not actually going to reigned by the gospel, whatever our situation in life is, that we could chase after you and be pleasing to you on that day when we stand before you. In Jesus' name, amen.